Music Room Dilemmas from the Happy Music Teacher.
It's the Happy Music Teacher!
Are you an elementary music teacher who's frustrated and overwhelmed? I'm Jeanette Shorey, a happy music teacher who loves teaching every day, but it wasn't long ago I was in your shoes.
Join me weekdays as I answer all the questions that elementary music teachers have surrounding what's going on in their classroom, what their students are doing, and the challenges they face every day. Do know that these are my thoughts and they are my suggestions on what you might do better. If you disagree with me, that is totally your prerogative. These are just my suggestions and things that have kept me being a happy music teacher for over 25 years. If you do find something valuable, I'd be so thankful if you'd leave me a 5-star review. Now let's get into today's question.
Whew! I actually asked the question, what is your biggest challenge in the music classroom right now? In my private Facebook group called the Music Teacher Group. If you are not a member yet, I will share a link in the show notes. And I got a ton of amazing questions, challenges, etc. I am not going to be able to address all of them here because some of them are longer than this episode should be, but I am going to address some of them. So, patient said behavior and lack of respect. Like, talk to you like you're on their level, argue and try to negotiate. Just a different kind of kids we're teaching now. It's been a battle. So first of all, patients, I want to tell you that everyone is dealing with the same kind of thing. Behaviors are definitely out of control. So when you have students who are trying to engage you, I tell teachers this, and I also have told my own sister this, who has a teenager, and you know what they're like, who's 16. And what I'm going to tell you is do not engage. Do not engage. Do not engage. And the reason you don't want to engage is because they are trying to get a rise out of you. And as soon as you engage, you are going to make them happy. This is what they want. So what I try to do, and it's not always easy, what I try to do is I try just not to engage. I try not to even address it. When they try to argue and negotiate, I literally just ignore them. I don't address it at all. I do not, and many times that shuts them down. Now, if they are going to continue to argue or they're going to say something to try to engage you, I usually try twice to just ignore, and then I literally put up my hand like a stop sign and I say, I am not talking to you about this. I am the teacher. You are the student. You have choices in some things. You do not have a choice in this. Now, I will also tell you that I try to give my students lots and lots of choices in their day because they don't get a lot of choices. And a lot of times they're trying to argue with you because they're not getting choices. So you may want to try easy things like, would you like to sing this song or this song? Would you like to play this instrument or this instrument? Things that are going to help them to feel like they have a little bit of control in your classroom, because that's okay. It's okay for them to have a little bit of control. Let's go on to Bonnie's question. Again, a behavior, because hello, we are at the end of the school year and behavior has been an issue all year, but it is going to be at its worst now because those kids are checked out. Even your babies, they are like, okay, we're done now. So she says, behaviors, constant talking and wasting time, total disregard for adults' authority, needing multiple reminders and redirections to follow expectations that have been laid out clearly all year, the constant talking and just goofing off with classmates throughout instruction and group activities, classes that feel specialist teachers are not as respected as their own classroom teachers, so behaviors increase in our room, feels like students take music and other specials as just a time to fool around. And she's getting these behaviors during after school chorus as well. So here's what I want to tell you about that. First of all, the constant talking is a thing. Absolutely, positively. When you have a class where a lot of students are talking, what you want to try to do is you want to try to pinpoint those students who are talking. And that is sometimes challenging when there are, you know, five or six or seven. If it's a good part of the class, then what I like to do is a strike system. My students know that the most fun parts of my activities come at the end, the last like 10 minutes. And usually that's our instrument play time or whatever it happens to be. And so I give a strike system. So strike one, too much talking. Strike two, we're still talking. Strike three, we are done. Now, if you have not used a strike system before, I tend to, and this is with bigger kids. With littler kids, I'm going to give you some other options. But with bigger kids, that tends to work fairly well. Once we have our third strike, then what I say to them is we're going to learn it in a different way. Now, another technique. We are at the end of the school year, and probably if you haven't tried this before, I would try doing review activities, and I would try to do fun review activities that are, yes, still teaching music skills or reviewing music skills, but they are not going to be things where students have to really use their brains. They're going to be easy for you. They're going to be easy for the students. They are going to be review. I have a really fun bouncy ball activity that I like to use in my classroom, and it's part of my lesson plan sampler. I will link to that in the show notes, but it's storiesthatsing.net/lesson-plan-sampler. That one is one where you can get outside with your kiddos, and I would do things like that. We are dancing in the forest. That's another great one. We are dancing in the forest while the wolf is far away. Who knows what will happen to us if he finds us at our play? Wolf, where are you? And when the wolf says, I'm coming to get you, they get to run and he tries to tag people. Now, I did an outdoor games episode, and I will link to that in the show notes. There are some really good outdoor games you can play with your students that, because it's a beautiful time of the year to do it. And there are plenty of activities you can do outside. The final suggestion here is do not give them time to talk. If you keep things totally moving at all times, make sure you are totally prepped. I know that's hard because it's the end of the school year, we are tired, etc. But if you have everything ready, then that is going to help because they're not going to have a chance to talk. And I'll do things like We'll do a chant or a song for transitions. And my students, what happens is that gives them directions on what to do. And it also gives them an opportunity to use their mouths in a way that's not going to have them talking. So if you keep things moving really, really fast, that is going to help you. Abby says never enough time. Never enough time is going to be something that I address on Wednesday's podcast. So Abby and anyone who is interested in this subject, make sure you listen during Wednesday's podcast. Fifth grade student attitudes. So this is a big deal. Stephanie says this. I am going to tell you, go back to my suggestions about the last behavior. Fifth grade student attitudes are a big deal. They think they're the big kids. They think they're too cool for school. I would do those review activities, fun things. The other thing you can do is this time of the year, I love to do a talent show where not where you get up on stage, but an in-class talent show where the kids get to show off their talents, and they don't have to be musical talents. It could be karate. It could be singing or dancing or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And sometimes a magic show, they can tell jokes, whatever. They sign up, the week before, and they get to show off their talents in class that day. I did a blog post or a podcast on this last year. I can't remember which it was, but I will link to that in the show notes. And I will also send a link to, I have a worksheet, sign-up sheet that you can use for talent show. Shelley says, kindergarten through third grade, mostly blurting out, interrupting, getting out of their spots, despite plenty of movement and only a 30-minute class, and overall level of disrespect. Shelley, what I'm going to tell you on this, and you may already be doing this, and if you are, please reach out in that same thread or DM me, and I can help you more with this, but I try to use positive reinforcement, and that tends to work really, really, really well with that age group. So if you say, I love the way Susan is sitting silently on her dot. I love the way Jaden has his eyes on me. I love the way that Bradley is sitting still. These are behaviors that show me that you are listening. These are behaviors that show me you are ready to learn. So I try to do that often. If you don't use that sort of positive reinforcement, I highly, highly recommend it, because last week I forgot for a bit what I was supposed to be doing with positive behavior. And I was just kind of pointing out, why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? And then like this week I got back to my positive reinforcement. Oh my gosh, it makes such a difference with kindergarten, really kindergarten up through third grade. It even will work with fourth and fifth graders to a point, but it is really an amazing way to get your students on board, and they're going to all be like, oh, I want her to say my name. I want her to say my name. So that is something else that I try to do with my kindergarten through third graders. Caitlin says, quiet activities during state testing. And Caitlin, I am going to address this in a future podcast, probably next week on Wednesday, because that's a longer conversation. Kristen says, state testing, canceling my classes. She also talks about when they don't stop talking. Kristen, I want you to refer back to earlier in the podcast, but state testing, canceling your classes, I know it's frustrating, but that you, in my opinion, I try to let that go. I try not to make that a big deal. Okay, yes, this class is behind a little bit because we missed a Friday here and a Monday there and whatever. You have to let that go, in my opinion, because it can't be helped. And since it can't be helped, I would try to swing it in a positive way. Oh, good. I get an extra 30 minutes to, you know, do my thing. So that is my opinion on that one. The final thing I want to point out is that you may not know this really in your heart and soul, but I want you to remember that these students are little. Even your fifth graders have only been on the earth for a short amount of time. They are still learning how to behave. You are teaching them how to behave. They do need constant reminders, and try to let go of, oh my gosh, I have told them this 80 gamillion times, because it is frustrating, because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm repeating myself over and over and over. But if you try to focus it like, okay, these are little kids and they need my constant help and reminders, try to focus it like that rather than being frustrated. And believe me, I get frustrated too, but you are teaching them how to behave. That is part of your job as a teacher. And I'm not coming down on you, believe me, because it's very hard to remember. I'm just saying, if you try to remember that they're still learning and they do need those constant reminders, that tends to help me a lot. Well, that's all I have for you today. But before I go, let me remind you, keep learning, keep growing, and keep being fabulous you.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at teachbetter.com/podcasts. And we'll see you at the next episode.